On August 22nd, 1678, in Hertfordshire, a piece would be published in a local newspaper called The Mowing Devil. The drawing consisted of a series of concentric rings of crops. In the middle stood a devil wielding a scythe. The pamphlet then told a strange tale. A farmer refused to pay a worker to mow his oat field, swearing he would rather the devil himself do it. Some argue this was the very first documentation of what has become one of the most iconic symbols of alien activity. According to websites that track this phenomenon, more than 12,000 of these geometric patterns have been reported, and in more than 60 countries. So today we are stepping into these fields where the stalks bend, the patterns form, and the explanations vanish into thin air. Across quiet countrysides and moonlit plains, strange geometric shapes have appeared, seemingly overnight, carved into the earth with precision no human hand could easily match. Some say it's a message, a cosmic signature left by visitors from the great beyond. Others whisper about secret military technology, government conspiracy, or forces of nature we'd never dare to understand. But one thing is certain, when the dew settles and the dawn light hits the fields, something is watching us. So, are these puzzling spirals a hoax, a government conspiracy, or proof of alien life? Today's episode is all about crop circles. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me, so if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I'd love if you continue to follow along. If you are a returning listener, hello, my friends, welcome back. I'm very happy you all are here today for my crop circles episode, and I'm so excited to have my friends with me. You guys, I've got Allie and Nat here from Let's Get Haunted.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I thought this would just be a really good Let's Get Haunted coded topic.
I'm pumped. I'm so excited. We have never covered crop circles on our show. So this is going to be really, really fun for us. We love when we go somewhere and we get to learn about an entirely new topic. I also love aliens. I know you know this, Kadra, but I do love them so much.
Mm-hmm. I had and you so, in mind.
Yeah, this is going to just... Wait, are we allowed to curse or is the cursing to be kept to a minimum? Okay.
Fire away.
Yeah, I know on other shows that we've been on, we start to curse and they're like, can you not do that? Because we have to bleep it.
Yeah.
But we're very excited to get our dicks blown off is what I was going to say and learn about some crop circles.
Yeah, I'm already locked the fuck in after listening to that hook. I was like, I got stuck though, because I do have an ADHD diagnosis. We don't know if that's real or fake or not, but I have it and I take the medication and it seems to help, but I am suspicious of whether or not I'm just rude and dumb. I don't know. But my point is that you were saying that this farmer didn't want to mow, like, didn't want to mow down his grain or whatever. And I got stuck on that. I was like, why would he rather have the devil himself mow it down? Like, what was going on with that?
Yeah.
Is it like really hard to mow grain or something?
We are going to talk about that at the top of the story. So we will definitely go back to that and an old newspaper article that tells the story as well. Very quickly before we get started, because I don't want to forget, I do want to welcome my newest patron. Welcome to the Perplexed Society, Michelle C. I hope you enjoy all that bonus content. And I would just love, very quickly, Allie and Nat, if someone somehow, some way doesn't know about your show, can you guys tell everyone how freaking awesome your show is?
Oh, man. We love to talk about ourselves. Yes, we are Let's Get Haunted. We were formed Forged in Adversity in 2019. And so we're on season 8 now, year 7. It's pretty crazy that we've been going this long. Neither of us thought that it would last this long, but here we are. And yeah, we just have a lot of fun. I think there's a ton of crossover between your show, Kadra, and our show. So maybe some of your listeners would also enjoy our show. We do a lot of Reddit deep dives. We go down rabbit holes. We do some alternative history. Every once in a while, we'll branch out into maybe something true crime adjacent, but we do stick to the world of paranormal and supernatural because that's just way more fun. There's there's a lot of opportunities to get whimsical over on our show, and we post new content every single Wednesday. We rotate, since there's two of us, we rotate telling stories every week. So the week that I tell a story, Nat doesn't know what I'm going to be talking about. She's just offering commentary and vice versa. And so we think that that's, you know, something kind of cool that we do because the host that's in the dark is probably going to ask a lot of the same questions that the audience is screaming at us as they're listening to our episodes too.
Their show is awesome. I was telling them earlier, I found them when I did my Doddleston Messages episode. And then I realized how many people we both know. And so here we are. And no pun intended, this really is a full circle moment. So as usual, all the sources will be down in the show notes. And are you guys ready for crop circles?
I'm so ready.
So you guys can open the email with all the photos. Without further ado, let's get into this episode all about crop circles. So I wanted to start first with the mowing devil, that weird story that I was talking about in the introduction. If you guys look at the photos, there's going to be one that says mowing devil or the mowing devil article. Do you guys see that?
Yes. I see it.
Okay, so open that and then whoever wants to read it and then I will explain more.
Since Nat just did a bunch of reading on the episode on our show that you came on, I'll go ahead and start us off. So this article is from August 22nd of 1678, and the article reads as follows, quote, "The mowing devil or strange news out of Hertfordshire. Being a true relation of a farmer who, bargaining with a poor mower about the cutting down 3 half acres of oats upon the mower's asking too much, the farmer swore that the devil should mow it rather than he. And so it fell out that that very night the crop of oats shewed as if it had been all of a flame, but next morning appeared so neatly mowed by the devil or some infernal spirit that no mortal man was able to do the like. Also, how the said oats lie now in the field and the owner has not power to fetch them away," end quote. And sorry for the halting reading, but I forgot that F is S when we're looking at old English writing. So I was like, wait a minute, trying to translate that in my mind. And then there's a little illustration down below of I would describe it as a doodle. And there's like a black goat figure, which I assume is supposed to be the devil, holding a scythe and cutting down this grain in a concentric circular pattern, which is very intriguing.
Yes. So basically, the way that the story goes is that this farmer didn't want to pay another farmer to mow his oat field for him because the price was like too high or something. And he was basically like, screw you, dude. I would rather the devil do it. That's ridiculous. So he goes to sleep, and then allegedly all these villagers said that his crop field was ablaze that night. He wakes up, he goes out there, and he expects that all the crops are going to be burned. But instead, he finds the crops are bent into this perfect circle.
Wow. That would be a mind fuck.
Yeah, right? Some people say this was the first crop circle. Now, ever. I don't know how true this is. I don't know if someone just published this in a newspaper and was like, this is fun. This would be a cool story. But there you go.
I do love, though, when a story has an article, like something physical written about it from the time period. You know what I mean? Like this article is from the 1600s. I think that that gives it some credibility, right? Yeah. Or is this not from the 1600s? Did I just make that up?
It is. It's from 1678, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. What it says at the bottom. I got lost. I just started thinking about how I would be fucking so scared if I was this guy, because this is like during the witch trials, right? Like if you were just like fucking around and were like, I'm not going to fucking mow this grass and that guy's asking too much for it. Like the devil should fucking mow it. Fuck this. And he's just like drunk and goes to sleep in his bed with his syphilis wife and all of that. And then he wakes up in the morning and sees that the fucking devil came to his house. He's going to be like, oh, fuck. Like, I didn't really want the devil to come here because now this is a whole other problem. And now, like, I don't know, like, what the path is. Like, do I just downplay this? And I was like, yeah, it was just a one-time thing. The devil came over here. Like, you know, don't worry about it, guys. Or do I, like, play it up so that people know that this was surprising to me and that I didn't really intend this to happen? Like, oh, no, the devil came and mowed.
I didn't think about this overlapping with the witch trials, but that is a good point. And it kind of leads into the supernatural aspect. So according to Thea Applebaum Licht from the Public Domain Review, the mowing devil is all about a moral lesson that's been impressed on this farmer and how it matters far more than any concrete explanation for the crop circle itself. In fact, the crop circle is only one form of many forms of providence. They talk about how rain, solstices, winds are all examples of divine providence. And so my takeaway from this is basically humans have a moral duty to serve, to feed other people, like with their crops and stuff. And so if we try to inhibit that or how it happens, then divine intervention will come and create these crop circles. And then it's talking about how crops, nature, it's all part of this divine connection to serve other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the 1600s, food is not as plentiful as it is now. Now we can walk into a Costco and you can just buy 1,000 of whatever you want. But back in the day, it wasn't. And so they probably needed to make sure that the people who were farming grain or blacksmithing or, you know, whatever. I think it probably extended to other trades. But the message, I think, that article you just read is right. Like the message is just keep doing what you're doing so that our society can continue. Because the second one person in that link stops sowing oats or harvesting or creating textiles or whatever it is that they're doing, the second that person stops, everybody else's life gets harder, especially in the 1600s. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see that being the moral lesson.
Yeah, exactly. So there's this connection of like morality and then also the supernatural or even like the devil himself coming and like hurting you if you don't like fulfill this duty. So it was interesting because I've just always associated crop circles with aliens. I've never thought of them being associated necessarily with like the divine or the devil or like more of the paranormal. So
yeah, me neither. Now that you say that, me neither. I would not. Yeah. If I saw a crop circle, I would be like, a UFO landed here.
Right.
I wouldn't think to myself, oh, the devil came and started just like punching this guy's crops because he wouldn't pay someone to harvest it.
Exactly. Okay. So what is a crop circle? According to Britannica, this is a large geometric pattern of flattened, not bent or broken, but flattened crops, most often found in the fields of southern England. So they've been seen all over the world, but by and large, they are the most popular in southern England. 90% of crop circles are found in really? Southern England. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that either. Maybe just because of the movie Signs. I think of it as being in the Midwest.
Right. That's what I Kansas think. Or something. Exactly. Yeah. And we'll get into theories of like why they're so common over there a little bit later. But I know that surprised me too. So you could argue that this phenomenon of crop circles, though, goes back even further than 1678. Pre-Columbian cultures like the Inca and the Tiwanaku created 1,000 meter long patterns on hills and desert plains for religious purposes. There's also the Nazca lines in Peru, which are very famous, and those date back to 500 BC. So I do have pictures of the Nazca lines and then the Inca lines in the slides.
It almost looks like an amphitheater or something.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's perfect concentric circles.
That is very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It really does look like an amphitheater for those who are trying to envision it in their minds and maybe aren't watching the video version. It looks like these perfect stadium seating circles that get deeper and deeper and deeper the further you go down. But what also is cool is that the topmost layers aren't actually in a circle. It's like it's a circle that has like another doll. Circle. Yeah, like a Russian nesting doll shape. That's a perfect way to describe it. Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard of those. I had heard of the Nazca lines. Those are really cool, too. So the Nazca lines are all over Peru. I don't remember how many there are, but there's a lot. And some of them, like, make animals, like, all these different shapes. So for those of you who are not familiar with the Nazca lines, there will be pictures on the Instagram and in the YouTube video. But they're just these insanely large carvings that have been found all over Peru, like in the mountainsides. And so some people also think that those could be evidence of like getting divine messages from aliens in like these really, really early times.
Yeah, we did an episode on the Nazca lines. I won't talk about it too much, but I'll just briefly say that what I think is like the craziest connection with the Nazca lines and the aliens is that you can really only see the full picture of what they are because like a lot of them are like plants or animals or insects or something like that from very high up in the sky. So it's like, okay, where was the vantage point when people were making this? Did they have, you know, aliens up in the sky? Like, was this their way of communicating with the aliens? That's crazy. Like, who are these Nazca lines for?
Exactly. And that's why I think they connect so well with crop circles, because a lot of them, especially nowadays, when you look at ones that have happened more recently and like, they started getting really elaborate in like the 70s and 80s to cut ahead a little bit, but they started getting like larger and larger and larger, and the vantage point would be really, really high up. So it's like, okay, how are they doing this, you know?
Yeah.
So beginning in the late 1970s, crop circles began to appear regularly in the fields of Wiltshire, Oxfordshire, Somerset, and Gloucestershire, all over southern England. They always seemingly popped up overnight and sometimes in the span of just an hour. The circles started off as being simple, just like a circle, but like a perfect circle. But then over the years, something crazier started happening. They grew into large, complex, geometric patterns that were hundreds of feet across. The fact that these circles were always found with bent but never broken crops led people to believe they must be the result of some unknown natural phenomenon, like some mysterious weather event, or something supernatural, like aliens. So then I get to my favorite part of the story. These two men are my new heroes. I'm obsessed with them. So there are pictures of Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley in the slides. I think I have like three pictures in there. Feel free to like scroll through. So we're going to go to the 90s in Southampton. So in 1991, these two men confessed to making more than 200 crop circles beginning in the late 1970s using nothing more than ropes and wooden boards. So Doug Bauer and David Chorley said they were inspired by a 1966 UFO sighting out of Queensland, Australia. And so in this sighting, which there's also pictures of the Queensland UFO in the slides, a banana farmer named George Pedley reported he was driving his tractor in the area when he heard an ear-piercing hissing sound. He looked up, saw a gigantic flying saucer going off at a really high speed before it vanished in a cloud of blue smoke. The flying saucer left behind a depressed area of floating reeds because it was like over this lagoon that were 9 meters in diameter, and the reeds continued to swirl in a clock-like pattern for several minutes after the spaceship left. So it left this crop circle behind. They called it something else at the time, but police concluded that this must have been because of like plant disease or water damage. But George Pedley was like, no, bitch, I saw a freaking UFO. Don't gaslight me right now. And a lack of evidence failed to confirm this police theory. And so George Pedley's sighting made international headlines.
Wow. Yeah. For those who don't know, I work in agriculture. So I feel like there's a little bit of crossover here. So when you're saying that the police skeptic theory was, oh, it must just be soil disease in this area or something like that. Soil disease is definitely very real and it will kill crops that are growing, but it's not going to kill them in like a perfect circle. The only way I could possibly think of that, like the only way I could possibly think of that happening is if somebody intentionally spilled something in, you know what I mean? Like a liquid that then ballooned out.
But then it would still be an intentional message. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then they would just say that.
It happened in a lagoon. Yeah. So basically, Doug Bauer, one of the guys who ended up making all these crop circles way over in England, he lived in Australia for some time. So he grew up hearing about this sighting and several others that happened in the area. And they started calling them Tully saucer nests. They would describe them like a nest because the crops would weave like a blanket and it kind of looked like a bird's nest.
Mm. Oh, that also gives it an extra level of creepy mysticality. Not sure if that's a word, but
yeah,
because if it was soil disease or crop disease or contaminated water, the plants aren't going to weave themselves into these complex patterns. It's just going to wither and die and eventually disintegrate.
Right.
You know, I'm, and that's not even something abnormal because I'm sure everybody's had a houseplant at some point. And if you forget to water it, it does not suddenly weave an intricate pattern with its leaves and stems. It just literally dies and withers.
Exactly. Were you going to say something, Nat?
I'm curious. I mean, it's not. It doesn't matter. But nothing I say matters. So why stop now, you know? Well, I'm just curious, like, why these guys decided to come clean. Like, what was it eating at them at night? Like, no, we want everyone to know that we did it. Or were they just proud of it? Or were they like, hey, we could just make some money if we just, you know, came clean about this? Or were they just up to shenanigans? Like, I just, you know, I gotta know, like, were these just chaotic men?
Right.
Why did they decide to come clean?
I also want to know, will your crop insurance cover crop loss due to alien intervention?
Oh.
Like due to UFO landing in your field? Because my gut would say no, they won't. What was the incentive to come forward about this? Why not just lie and say, yeah, it was soil disease, or yeah, it was contaminated water. Now I'm going to make a claim against my insurance and hopefully get a percentage back so that I'm not like in the red. It seems like they skipped past that, which gives them more credibility, I think, because why would you put why would you do that to yourself? I guess it's counterintuitive.
Right. It is counterintuitive for sure. Yeah. All good points. All good questions. We'll definitely talk about Bauer and Chorley more. Let's start from the beginning of like, why did they do this in the first place? So one night they were drinking at a local pub. They were just outside of a wheat field, and they are also in their 40s, they're artists, and they're best friends. And so Bauer starts talking about aliens, as you do. And he was like, I have all these childhood memories of when I lived in Queensland, and we would always see these Tully saucer nests, blah, blah, blah. And wouldn't it just be so funny, or as they say, a bit of a laugh, if we went outside and we made a fake crop circle? And they're, you know, they're drunk and they're like, yeah, what the hell? They're whimsical. Let's do it. And this turned into a 15-year prank.
Whoa.
Oh, they went. They got too deep.
15 years.
15 years.
They went too deep.
Every Saturday night at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, these two friends would sneak out into the fields in the middle of nowhere, giggling as they created their own saucer nests using nothing more than wooden planks attached to a string. So my thing was like, how the hell did they do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the way that they explain it, and it got more elaborate over time, but initially when they had these boards with the strings, they would basically like be holding the string. And I think there's a picture of this in the email. They were like holding a string in one hand, and then they put their foot down on the wooden board and step down to like flatten the crops, but not break them. And then they would just pivot the board and try to stay in the same place in the middle to then eventually do a full 360 and create this perfect circle.
That seems like it would be so tough on your back. I don't know. I'm again, maybe just a sign that I'm getting
huge.
Old. But yeah,
when you're drunk, you can do anything.
Yes. You know what? That's not just figured it out. That's how they did it. They got drunk every time.
That's actually way more like inspiring. It's like, wow, two men in their 40s, like just kept up this thing. You know, they weren't just like, oh, I'm like so tired. It's Saturday. It's 3 a.m. Like, I don't want to get the board and make a 100-meter long circle in a crop field. You know,
the even crazier thing, too, is like they were both married with kids and they literally kept this a secret from their spouses, their children. Like, nobody knew. It was just the two of them for 15 years.
I'd be so fucking pissed. If I was that man's wife with his kids and like putting them to bed and getting up and doing all this shit and he wasn't fucking there because he was out drunk making crop circles and I found out 15 years later, oh my God, I would snap like a twig.
It's over. So some people believe Bauer and Chorley went on to inspire copycats around the world because a lot of crop circles started popping up after this, because this all was like in the 70s and 80s. Other people say, sure, like maybe they inspired some copycats and some of these are made by humans, but not all of them. Other people say that humans make all crop circles, but like the aliens compel them to do so, like they're trying to send some kind of message.
I like that, like alien mind control, where you're sitting in your living room, you're watching TV, and all of a sudden you're like, I don't know why, but I need to go find the nearest cornfield and I need to flatten everything in my sight. That is, that might be the most haunted version of how crop circles are made. That is actually low-key terrifying.
It is terrifying. Can you imagine basically like a zombie out in a field just making this perfect geometric pattern and they're just like in a total daze? I must create.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Trying to drag them away. Yeah. And they're just like, no, I need to finish my pattern. Oh, no.
And the crop circles just kept getting bigger and bigger. They upgraded to like larger boards. They started wearing these hats that had wires on them that would like jut straight out to give them like perspective, I guess, to make sure that they were like better aligned. Like, it's pretty insane. So a couple years into doing this, they decided, you know what? We need to think bigger. We need a crowd. And so they selected a really popular tourist spot where there was basically like this valley of crops, but then there was this huge hill that a lot of people would go to. And so down in the valley overnight, they created their biggest project yet, an 80-foot wide crop circle. And the next day, it made national news. They inserted themselves into the mystery as well. So they started approaching local crop circle experts, which, by the way, I'm very surprised by this. A crop circle expert is called a cereologist.
What?
Oh.
Like cereal. Like C-E-R. Wow. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Like grains. Cereals.
Yeah, because
grains.
Cereal. Wow.
Cereologist.
That's embarrassing. Is that a real career? Like, do you just study for that? Is it for real? Like, it's actually, can you get a doctorate in that?
That I doubt, but it is like that is the name for it. I don't know what the credentials are for it, but they are commonly wildlife enthusiasts and like people who have some type of science background. There's a couple of people who are former physicists. So it seems like at least some of these people know what the fuck they're talking about. But I doubt all of them do.
It's probably like a ufologist, like somebody that has a science background and is interested in UFOs and talks about them and studies them. Maybe that's what a seriologist is. But also, what a name.
Yeah.
What a job title to have.
Yeah. So basically they would like approach these experts because they were like talking about it in the media of like, oh, this is so interesting. And see, this is a real crop circle because blah, blah, blah. And then they would like pop up and be like, hey, you're a seriologist, right? Hey, weird thing. We found another crop circle over here. You should go look at it. And so they were like inserting themselves like a serial killer into the investigation of like, here's all these things that we made.
That's what I mean, though, by like, that's kind of a silly profession to me, because literally I just learned about it because people who make fake crop circles are telling the person who studies them as their profession. You know, I mean, I guess it's not their fault, but I would just feel really dumb if like someone came up to me and told me actually my whole career was based off of like a too drunk dude prank, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
But I guess it's not the whole career. Like that's the thing is we don't know which crop circles are made by the drunk dudes or which ones are made by aliens.
Exactly.
Okay. I stand corrected. I take it back.
If these men are agents of chaos, then could they not have just been taking credit for some of the more impressive crop circles that weren't actually made by them? But they're like, wow, this is a really good crop circle. Let's just say we did it.
Mm-hmm. We can't even believe them. Like, they're untrustworthy. So, like, we don't even know what they're talking about. Yeah, exactly. It's probably not true. Like, they did that. They just got up at 3 a.m. every Saturday in their 40s. Fuck no, you know?
Yeah. So something I, like, initially thought, and I was like, oh, my God, am I getting too unhinged, is I was like, oh, my God, what if they're, like, Men in Black?
Whoa. Okay, wait. And what if the aliens, instead of beaming information into their brains to make them create the crop circles, what if the aliens are convincing them of false memories and they think they made the crop circles, but they didn't?
Oh, my God. See, that would actually make sense because, okay, I'm going to keep going. But like, you guys are onto something. So then we get to Nat's question of like why they confessed. So all I really know is they had this conference in 1991. They were in their 60s, so maybe they were just like, okay, we got to retire, we've had enough. So this is when they told everyone. And so at this conference, is my understanding, they drew a crop circle in front of the crowd, but some people continued to refuse to believe it because the circles were irregular, they didn't look precise, and they also, like, their stories didn't line up. Like, Bauer said they started doing it a different year than what Chorley said.
Boom.
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 Liars.
That's stolen valor, though. That's like when somebody pretends to be a veteran of some war, you know? Like, pretending to be the crop circle guy, that automatically should blacklist you from any, just from being in society in general. I don't want to share a road with you, you psycho.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think there is a picture in there of one of the like most famous crop circles they made. There's a drawing of one of them, or I think it's a painting where one of them is like holding the model of it. And then there's the actual picture and it's like three circles. Wow. I don't know. How would you guys describe that? Do you see what I'm talking about?
It's like a bullseye almost.
It also, maybe I'm just looking at the wrong thing, but the picture that he's holding to me does not look like the picture of the crop circle.
Yeah, they don't mention that in the like articles I was reading, but I noticed that too. I was like, okay, like there are similarities in this drawing, but so they were saying that they would like draw it first as like a mock-up and then they would do it. But then the only one I could find was that picture. And I was like, that's not even like a precise, it's similar, but it's not, it's still got some significant differences to the actual crop circle. So
yeah, the picture of the actual crop circle has three perfect circles with a line going through them. And there's some like extra stuff, but that's basically what it is. But then the pictures that this guy with the fun hat is holding up to me. Yeah. To me, it just doesn't look like that at all. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's like one of the pictures looks like, what are those squeeze horns or whatever? But instead of the, you know, it looks like a turkey baster. That's one of the drawings looks like a turkey baster. And then the other one looks like an eyeball or something, you know, but it doesn't, it doesn't match what they're claiming or they did.
When their minds were erased by the Men in Black or the alien connection or whatever, maybe this is just stuff that they remember from the abduction. And that one that you said looks like a turkey baster is actually an alien probe.
Oh, my God.
An anal probe.
They got probed, people.
Or an antenna.
Yeah. And so, like, they're in their mind, like, these images are significant and they don't know why, but they're like, I have to make this in the corn. And yeah, they're trying. I don't know.
You know what? Why not?
I still don't think they could have made those perfect circles, especially if when they were monitored trying to recreate it, they made an irregular circle, because these really do look, at least to my untrained eye, like perfect shapes that I cannot imagine making drunk at night in a cornfield with a board and some string.
So see, that's the thing, that this was something that was really weird to me and kind of why I thought this would be a good perplexing topic, is when I would try to like research crop circles, there's a bunch of pictures that come up. And first of all, a lot of them are AI generated. So then I'm trying to figure out which ones are actually real pictures. And then when you try to like find, because a lot of artists will claim to make them like after they got really popular, kind of like tagging with like spray paint and shit, people would claim they were making these crop circles. But then when you actually try to like look into the artist who made it, like I couldn't find anything. And then there's articles that are like, oh, there's like drone technology now that can create them and blah, blah, blah. But like, I couldn't find anything where like you actually see someone doing this in real time. So I'm like, is this just a conspiracy? Are you telling us that you're making these, but you're actually not?
Yeah, I would like to see someone film from start to finish them making a crop circle and have it look as perfect as some of these finished products that we have photos of look like.
Exactly. Yes. So some other theories for how crop circles are made. There is a picture of Terence Meaden in the pictures. So Seriology came about because of members of the Circles Effect Research Unit. And this is a privately funded group that was headed by a physicist named Terence Meaden. Meaden is an author, retired physicist, and he has also written a lot about mystical places like Stonehenge. The Circles Effect Research Unit argued that crop circles are caused by weather phenomenon due to whirling columns of air picking up electrically charged matter, which then flatten crops and produce bright lights, which that's another thing is observers of crop circles will often report like orbs floating above the crop circle. So they say that this is because of weather phenomenon, and that was another theory with the Queensland sighting, is it's like this whirlwind, basically.
Yeah, I mean, okay, again, if this really is man-made, how are they also hoaxing the balls of light? And I know you're saying, well, natural weather phenomena, whatever, but okay, it's one or the other. You can't have a guy flattening stuff and also a weather phenomenon just magically appears above his head every time he does it. So you'd have to believe it's one or the other if you're a skeptic.
Right. And so if you have a theory of like, okay, some crop circles are human made and some are made by aliens, the way that you can apparently tell the difference is as follows. So a man-made crop circle will damage the bottom of the crop and destroy it, whereas a real crop circle will have no damage and the plants will be woven together. Then the plants, when like they've been compressed, they'll continue to grow, but they'll grow sideways and then eventually back to an upright position. And there have also been, this is crazy, studies where they took the wheat, like if a crop circle was in a wheat field, they would study the wheat inside of the circle and on the outside of the circle to see if it was different chemically because of what happened to it. And they found that inside of the crop circles that they studied, I don't know how many, but 50% higher protein was in the wheat in the middle. And they baked bread with it, and the bread like literally tasted different on the outside versus the inside. And they theorized that it was from radiation.
I would believe that. Yeah, that is cool.
That sounds pretty alien.
Cool. It's really cool. There was a video I watched of them like baking the bread, and I was like, this is so cool.
Oh, I love that. Also, alien I'm glad bread. You brought up that if you believe that there are that both types of crop circles exist, man-made versus alien-made, like this is how you can tell the difference. I'm glad you brought that up because at the beginning when you were talking about, oh, these circles and the wheat stalks were woven together, like, yeah, that you can't really do that as a human in 1 hour or one night or whatever. I mean, that's so complicated.
Right.
And then to see that picture of that guy drunk, just stomping on stuff, there's no way that would weave, you know, that would just flatten. So, yeah, I'm glad that there are seriologists out there telling us the differences.
Yeah, maybe they can teach us some things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know I'm going to get shredded in these comments because the seriologist actually turned out to be a real profession with valid outcome. And this guy's picture, Terence Meaden, actually looks like a really nice guy. And now I feel kind of like a dick.
Would you say shredded like wheat?
Oh.
Shredded wheat cereal?
But,
Ooh. Well, I was going to say, okay, so when you make like a topiary, like a bush or something out of an azalea plant or like a money tree or like even like Chinese bamboo or something, when the plant is really young, you can sort of braid it together to make it woven. And then it gets a little older and the stalk hardens, or like even with bonsai tree, like when they get a little bit older, the actual trunk like hardens into a shape or whatever. So I'm wondering if the aliens are weaving these stalks together, is it like a time travel thing? They're able to take that corn back to a time when the stalk was like young and weave it all together right there. And so then they like leave the portal and it's like time passed. And so I don't know.
There is, I'll just go ahead and say it now. There is a theory that crop circles are related to black holes.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that, I mean, could be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So around the time that the Circles Effect Research Unit presents their theory about the whirlwinds, then there's this team in Japan led by physicist Yoshihiko Otsuki. And Otsuki believed it was a form of ball lightning generated by microwaves in the atmosphere that flattened the crops. Perhaps that could explain, I don't know, but that's making me think of the orbs that we were talking about earlier.
Right. I mean, I do feel like ball lightning is the default explanation that skeptics give for any UFO sighting, which gets kind of, you know, tiresome after a while, because how would it be possible that there is so much ball lightning that everyone all over the world is perceiving them as UFOs, but also we basically don't understand anything about ball lightning because it's allegedly so rare?
Right.
Ball lightning could literally be aliens. Like, that could be an alien spacecraft using
ball lightning.
That's true. That's true.
That's in every theory for every weird weather phenomenon that I've ever covered. Yeah. Like, I know that was a big thing in Dyatlov Pass, as they tried to say it was like a ball lightning thing. And it usually doesn't. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But I mean, the findings were impressive enough where they like they published them in a British journal and then they also backed them in The Economist. So it seems like the theory at least holds some weight. But I don't know. And then we get to my favorite theory.
Ooh, okay, tell. Do tell.
This is just so silly. Okay. So others have suggested animals like hedgehogs and wallabies create crop circles.
Why? Why would they do that?
When they're stimulated or in heat, like they're mating, they roll around and create these crop circles.
Dude, apparently, a hedgehog is like... I had a hedgehog for a while. The thing was like the fucking size of a softball, you know? How is it going to make this giant crop circle?
It's so horny. You're really underestimating how horny a hedgehog can be. That is hilarious to just imagine this sexually frustrated animal just like rolling so fast, like, I gotta get this out of my system.
Wallabies, I will say, I mean, they can pack a punch. Like, I could see them like stamping on some crops, you know, but I don't think this theory has any weight, because how are they going to produce like this perfect circle? And then like Nat was saying, the hedgehogs are like really small. There would have to be like a bunch of them having like an orgy basically for that to even happen, I feel like. So
they run like 77 miles a night or something like that. Like they run a lot at night. I remember that.
That's crazy
about them. Yeah. Because mine had like a little like a wheel she would run on at night. Kiki, rest in peace, Kiki. I mean, maybe, I guess if it was like a hedgehog stampede, but then at that point, it's like that feels supernatural anyways, because like, why is there a hedgehog stampede when you don't ever even see those things out in the wild? And if you do, you like one.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, oh my gosh, you know how when like a predator is around, animals will like get quiet or like act weird or different? What if like the wallabies and the hedgehogs are acting weird because the aliens are around. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's why it doesn't make sense.
That's what it is.
So then we get to more of like the paranormal and like divine theories. So some continue to maintain that at least some crop circles are the activity of ancient spirits, the anguish of Mother Earth, evidence of secret weapons being tested, or that they are complex messages being buried in complex numerological codes connected to the pre-Columbian Mayan calendar. These messages may convey peace or a warning to humanity. They have also become of special significance in the New Age movement.
Yeah, I mean, Mother Earth's anguish, to me, I feel like that is like an annoying one because it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I feel like people who have that theory in my mind, and maybe this is just my bias showing, are basically saying, oh, everything humans do is bad and Mother Earth is trying to eliminate us because we are bad. And I just think that's such a simplistic way to look at it. Like, why would Mother Earth destroy our food source to teach us a lesson?
She likes the abuse. Yeah.
Yeah, that's also fair. Let's talk about the 90% crop circles in England, because I just couldn't get over that. I thought that was so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, England has been known to be a very mystical location. So Wiltshire, for example, is the home to 90% of these circles. And it's also the home of Stonehenge and the Avebury Stones and the ley lines. There's an extensive network of ley lines all through this area. I think you guys talked about Stonehenge and with like Doddleston messages in England, for example, there were ley lines in that area. So this area is very rich with folklore and it could explain why there are so many crop circles here.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something intelligent to say, but the fact is that it just makes sense to me. So I'm like, yeah, the ley lines have energy. The aliens are trying to land on where there's energy, and they're also putting these symbols in the crops. Maybe Mother Earth is fighting with them. Maybe the aliens and Mother Earth are fighting. And like, this is like them, like, you know, when you like fight someone in your text message and send like long texts to them, maybe this is like the aliens trying to do that with Mother Earth. And she's like giving them the silent treatment. And so they're like, okay, fine. I'm going to fucking send you a message. And she's just leaving them on read.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She's playing hard to get.
Also, it's been a long time since we did the Doddleston messages. It's been like 3 years, but I seem to remember, and hopefully I'm not butchering this too bad, that the guy who came up with the idea of ley lines basically said that he could see these lines of invisible energy in the UK that were running along these pathways. And so then he started mapping them and found that by coincidence, these lines of energy were intersecting with these important historical locations like Stonehenge and whatever, and the Doddleston messages house, allegedly, but, you know, who knows about that one. The ley line patterns, while they are basically just lines that intersect with each other, maybe the ley lines are the human version and the alien version of these lines of energy are way more complex and have circles and patterns that are more intricate than our ley lines are. Our ley lines are literally just lines. I don't know.
Right. I didn't know that about ley lines. But yeah, I feel like if there's 90% of these happening here, there has to be something mystical, something perplexing, something haunted going on. So now we are in like the final portion of the episode, which is I found some pictures of some pretty famous crop circles. And so I'll say the names of them so that you can see the pictures of them. And then I thought we could describe them and talk about them. This first one has a little bit longer of an explanation because there was also some weird phenomena happening when this crop circle appeared. So this one is the Eastfield pictogram. This was in July of 1990, and it is a 600-foot-long pictogram that appeared overnight in Eastfield, England, larger than anyone had ever seen at this time, and it became known as the Eastfield pictogram at Alton Barnes. It caught the attention of the world's press, and a photograph of the crop circle has even been used as cover art by Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
So if someone could describe this crop circle...
Sure. So I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 circles, but they seem to be in two separate groups. or maybe three separate groups. I'm not quite sure. But the first two at the top of the image are connected via a line. And then the second two seem to be connected via a line. And maybe that last circle is all by itself. I'm not sure because of the angle. Or maybe there are people walking in that line. I don't know. But yeah, it does look, if people want a picture, you know, the male and female symbols where it's a circle and then a line comes off of it and it forms an arrow or it forms a plus sign. That's kind of what these look like, but more complicated is how I would describe them. Nat, how would you describe them?
They almost look like me to keys or something. Like it looks like a key or it almost looks like technology, like a satellite or something that would be floating out in space, like the International Space Station or something. That's what I see.
Well, this one in particular coincided with some unusual occurrences in the area. So there was this local named Candida Linsett Green, and she would tell the Seriologist, so this journal, quote, Carlene Watson, who lives in Bottlesford, heard the dogs barking and howling at 2 o'clock in the morning that Thursday morning. Well, so did most of the people in the village and its surroundings because all of the dogs started barking. Roofs were also shaking very slightly, and tiles were rattling around that same time that the dogs were making a racket. Somebody was driving past and their car engine cut out. Another man saw the circles at dawn on that morning. He tried to walk down and look at them, but he said a force stopped him from doing so. Thousands of tourists have also started traveling. So, like, around this time period, a lot of people started going and looking at all of these crop circles, and farmers started getting really pissed off because it was, like, random people just walking onto their land. But before we talk about the other crop circles, what do you guys think about that and the creepy activity that happened around the time that that one popped up?
That's spooky. That is scary. Yeah, that makes me think if some of them are man-made and some of them are alien-made, this one appears to be alien-made because it has other phenomena associated with its creation other than just someone woke up and saw a pattern in their crops. And I do love the bit about that guy in the morning, he saw that there were these crop circles. He wanted to go down and look at it, but something stopped him.
Yeah.
I love it's vague enough to where you could be like, well, whatever, the guy just didn't want to go down there. But I love stuff like that. I love when you just get like that, your gut tells you, no, don't do this or don't do that. I don't know. It's so interesting.
The vibes are off, you know. Maybe this had a resonance. Like a frequency that did not jive with his system because it was a frequency that was a resonance that was not tuned to his local planet. It was tuned to another place.
No time to explain.
Yeah, no time to explain, guys.
Just go listen to our episode. Yeah, over on Let's Get Haunted, where we talk about frequencies and why we are all going insane.
Absolutely.
So another infamous crop circle is from 1996, and it is called Julia Set. It is also adjacent to Stonehenge and reportedly appeared within an hour, with a pilot reporting he flew by the hour prior and saw nothing.
Wow, this one's complicated. This is like a spiral, but instead of a line, it's a bunch of circles that...
Yeah.
Like they start off really small, then they get bigger, then they get small again as the spiral continues. And then it also has these little tiny lines like a centipede's legs coming off of it that are also comprised of these circles that get smaller as you get further out. It is complicated. It looks almost like a musical note, like an alien musical note.
Ooh.
And perhaps that means there's a frequency.
It's all connecting. I told you there would be overlap in what we talked about on y'all show.
Yeah.
This is overlapping.
We're progressively also getting, in my opinion, more and more complex with these crop circles. So the next one, August 2001, was the Milk Hill Spiral. This appeared in Wiltshire.
This is crazy.
It's considered one of the largest crop circles ever. It spreads over 900 feet and it contains over 400 circles. And it also appeared overnight within the span of a few hours.
That to me is crazy because I can't there's no way less than like 40 people could do this overnight, you know, unless they had heavy machinery. But then it's like, how did they get the heavy machinery in there? So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And then like, why?
Yeah. Why?
You know, like if you did that, like why? For what? You know what I mean? Like I could see aliens doing it of like, we were here and we're leaving this imprint. We're sending a message for humans as a human myself. I'm like, but why? But why? Why would you bring a team of 40 people in here with your machines and make this overnight in a couple hours? Like, I don't know. I could see like attracting tourists, but that's a lot. That's a lot of steps.
So that's what I was going to say is, do we have examples of people selling tickets to let tourists on their land to look at these? Or is it just like, come and look at this? Because I do think it gives it more credibility if people aren't selling tickets. That's kind of how I feel about psychics, is like, are there some people that are psychic? Probably. Is every single person that is, you know, saying, hey, give me $60 and I'll pull your tarot cards, are they not incentivized to pretend to be psychic? They definitely are. So it does seem more legit when you have a figure like Baba Vanga, who's one of the most prominent psychics in the world, probably, who's no longer living, but was probably the most famous. It gives it more credit because like, she wasn't charging people. She was just like, here's my prophecies, everyone, for the next 500 years. Here's what I think is going to happen. And so it does make it seem more legit when somebody's just like, here's my crop circles, come look at them, versus if they're selling admission.
Right. That's a good point. My understanding is, at least when they were really popular in like 70s, 80s, 90s, that people were just like walking to these fields and looking at them. But I don't know. Maybe now they are tourist attractions you pay for. But yeah, if not, I would definitely say that gives it more weight and that is worth a Google search.
Yeah.
So the last crop circle that I pulled is near Barbary Castle. It's from 2008. And I don't remember if there's a picture of this one in there. It is
There is.
Okay. So this is a complex crop circle measuring 150 feet in diameter. And it was concluded, after it was studied, to be a coded image representing the number pi.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is an example of how some crop circles have been tied to numerology.
Whoa.
That is very interesting and definitely way over my head. Kudos to that person that figured out this represented pi. I'm sure they have all their work to back it up and numbers and figures and facts. But just looking at it as a layperson, I mean, it looks super complicated. It looks like an alien spaceship. It looks like somebody made a, an
like
imprint.
Star Wars.
Yeah, of what an alien spaceship would look like.
It does look like the Death Star. Yeah. If you guys aren't watching the YouTube video, you'll have to go look at the Instagram page. I'll make sure I have all of the pictures there. But Ali, I appreciate your descriptions of these two in case anyone is visually impaired or is not able to watch right now. A couple other quick theories I just want to mention because I thought this one was crazy. I mean, one that comes up a lot is like the government could be making these. That's something I kept coming across. And I feel like that comes up a lot with like any weather phenomenon. Some people have categorized crop circles within the chemtrails conspiracy. So for people who don't know, this is the belief that condensation trails left in the sky by aircrafts have harmful agents and the government is intentionally spreading these toxins. Sometimes they also lump this belief in with government controlling the weather. And so if crop circles are part of a weather phenomenon or they have like radiation in them, then that would be like the belief here. But again, if so, like why and what could they represent?
Yeah, it just I just don't buy that because I feel like a key part of the HARP conspiracy, which is weather control, or chemtrail conspiracy, is you have to believe that then our government is trying to intentionally make us sick. And I'm not going to argue the validity of that because that's like an entire hour episode that you could do on either of those topics. But relating that theory to crop circles, it doesn't make any sense because you're not getting enough people sick if that's what the goal is. You're just destroying a very specific amount of crop in a field, and then that area can't get harvested. And then maybe some people feel like they want to come look at it. It's like, it's not enough, I guess. The amount of work that goes into doing that damage wouldn't get the bang for their buck, if that makes sense. It would just be a lot of work to do and you would not get the big payoff, especially because I feel like most people just think crop circles are fun art installations already. Mm-hmm. So it just doesn't have the same like nefarious ring to it that something like chemtrails or the HAARP conspiracy does.
If anything, they're helping because there's more protein in the corn that they like, yeah. the grain that they lay down. And so, yeah, it's like actually making us stronger because the bread we're eating. And
Allie is flexing her muscles for the camera right now, everybody.
I'm a vegan, so I'm always looking for protein. That's like my whole thing this year is I'm like, I'm trying to get protein. I'm trying to get buff and muscular so I can open jars on my own and stuff. Yeah, so really, they would actually, that's a good point, Nat. If they're actually just making the crop have more protein, then they're only helping fuel our inevitable uprising against our governmental overlords. So yeah, mm-hmm. it would just be doing a disservice to them because they're just making us buff.
Yeah.
Unless they want us to do like hard labor for them, but who knows?
Yeah, I guess I was just really surprised, kind of like what we talked about at the beginning, that there weren't more stories of like alien sightings in the Midwest that had like a crop circle or something. Yeah. I really thought it was going to be tied more to like all these different alien sightings. But I do think the Queensland sighting in Australia is legit. The way that they described the reeds like continuing to move and like mm-hmm. go in a circle, that's super creepy. And they were like woven together. And I mean, mm-hmm. I enjoyed learning about that. And then the people who like allegedly did it as a prank. I just feel like, yeah, there's so many different theories and avenues you could go down with it. So what do you guys yeah. think? Any other thoughts?
I think I'm with Nat on if those two guys were actually doing that for 15 years straight and just lying to everyone around them, they are villains. They are not the heroes of the crop circle community. They should be nobody's hero if you believe that they did that, because that is pretty diabolical, especially assuming they had families and jobs and like people that loved them. That's like pretty psychotic. If they didn't, then I guess good for them. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like these are just two opportunistic pranksters that are like, yeah, we'll just say we did it. Especially because the one time they tried to replicate it, they couldn't. That to me is like immediately, I just don't believe anything they have to say. I do love the imagery of crop circles. I think they're super spooky and creepy. I certainly can't even draw a circle, so let alone try to press a perfect circle into crops. So I think it's got to be aliens.
That's such a good point. I just thought about like every yeah. time I try to draw a circle and how it's never it's perfect.
Yeah, it's terrible. Nat, what do you think?
I think I am quite a bit of a mystic type person. Like, I do think like the universe communicates in signs and symbols. And I think you sharpen your intuition by noticing signs and symbols and patterns repeating. And so part of me like wants to figure out, yeah, what it means. Mm-hmm. And even if you do think it's like a hoax, right? Like, what does it mean that there are so many people who are feeling compelled to draw these symbols into the corn? Like, what does that mean? You know, if mm-hmm. we were to sit down all of them and have them all draw like a tarot card, would they all draw the same one? Are they all on the Ooh. Same frequency? You know, so like, even though like a lot of people would see, oh, these two guys just got drunk and went out and made signs and symbols in the corn because they were fucking around, they would see that as like not paranormal. I still see that as like some sort of supernatural entity taking over them, or like a frequency they're on, or a vibe they're putting out, or a space they're operating from, you know?
Yeah.
They're haunted for sure. Yeah. They're definitely possessed by something. Yeah. Confirmed haunted. Kadra, what do you think? I mean, you're the one that researched all of this. Did you walk into this story having one opinion and then left with a different one? Did you become more perplexed or less perplexed?
I think I became more perplexed because I wasn't expecting there to be so many different theories. And I think this is one of those stories where I come away from it, yeah, just being more perplexed, not having like this matter of fact, like, I think it's this. So I think that's like fun, but also like, wow, I wasn't expecting that. Like I said earlier, I was really expecting there to be more alien stories, but mm-hmm. I do like that there have been so many people who look at it that there's like a fucking name for it, seriologist. Yeah. That's cool. I like that there's like a fun random prank thrown into it. The wallaby and the hedgehog theory just cracks me up. Yeah, if I had to like go with one, I would say like Queensland sighting for sure, legit. But like the ones with the more recent ones with the pictures that we were just looking at, I don't know. It's like part of me from what I was reading online could see in some way how maybe a drone or technology could make something like that. And the only reason I'm thinking that is because I'm thinking of like firework shows that I've seen that get really elaborate with drones and they can make all these cool patterns and shapes. But I don't know enough about technology to be like, oh yeah, that could happen. So definitely something that I want to like read about more. At the moment, I'm like, there's no way somebody made that. That's alien.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last thought that I just had as you were talking about the more recent ones. Do we think it's a coincidence that all the crops that are forming, that these patterns are being formed in, all just happen to be subsidized crops by the government? So it's actually the only crops that wouldn't matter if you destroyed them?
Whoa.
Like, why are these not showing up in strawberry plants? Those aren't subsidized. Why aren't these showing up in bell peppers? They're not subsidized. The only things we subsidize are grains and dairy, which like that you can't.
They
how
would
can
squish
you make a
all
pattern?
The strawberries. They would just be sad. It would be like a bunch of squished strawberries. Like that's not a good crop to make a circle out of. Right?
Yeah, they pop up in like four specific crops, but they're all subsidized and it's all grains and stuff. So
Is it that the government is subsidizing grains because crop circles show up in them? And so I don't know. Someone else.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Backwards.
Now I'm like, is this like an insurance scheme? Like, oh, I get money back on these crops now because they were destroyed or some shit.
Or like the government, if the government is doing this for the people that equate this phenomenon with like chemtrails and stuff, if you believe the government is doing this, maybe the government feels really bad that they're destroying the crops. So they're like, hey, guys, we got to subsidize corn and wheat because we're not going to stop making the crop circles. We're just not.
We're actually not going to do it.
We can't help ourselves.
Yeah. Confirmed aliens. I think if I have to pick one theory, I just love the aliens so much and I want to give them credit for everything cool. So I'm going aliens on this one. And that's my final thought.
I love it. The fields are quiet now. The patterns sleep beneath the stars, perfect, untouched, and waiting. Maybe they were messages. Maybe they were warnings. Or maybe they were just the beginning. If you ever find yourself driving down an empty country road and see a clearing that wasn't there before, don't stop and don't look for too long. Because once you notice the pattern, it might notice you. Crop circles straddle multiple lines between pseudoscience, folklore, science fiction, but they've also become synonymous with alien activity. They are colossal works of art and are certainly perplexing. And that, everybody, is today's episode all about crop circles. Hooray!
Bravo. Bravo.
10 out of 10. I loved it. I learned a lot. That was great.
I loved it too. I loved learning about it. Very fun. And I just thought this would be a perfect one for you guys. Cause yeah, Allie, I knew you worked in agriculture and love aliens. And then you guys have both covered so many topics about like numerology and like geometric stuff. And yeah, is it haunted? Is it not? So I just thought that would be lots of fun. I would love if you guys would tell everyone how they can find you guys.
Absolutely. Nat, do you want to kick it off?
Sure. You guys can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including YouTube and Spotify. We are also a video podcast, so we started putting out videos about 2 years ago. So if you like video podcasts, we have that component as well. You can find us on Instagram at Let's Get Haunted, or you can go to our website, www.letsgethaunted.com. And if you do check out our website, you can leave us a message of your own haunted experience. experience on our Haunty Hotline, which is listed there, where you literally leave a voice message and we play it live on our listener stories episodes.
That was perfect. The only thing I want to add is if you do go to our website, you should know that there is a scavenger hunt on there. And that's all I can say. So click around, see if you find any hidden gems. And thank you so much, Kadra, for having us. This was really, really fun. We love going on shows that have similar interests to us. And I feel like your show is very, like, probably the most closely aligned with the same topics that we cover. So this was awesome. Haunted. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're absolutely. Yeah. I got to give a quick brag to them too. So if you guys did not listen to my Halloween collab where I had a bunch of podcasts come on and they all read a creepy Reddit story, by and large, the most feedback I got was Allie and Nat's story of the man's face in the tent. No time to explain. Go listen to it. It is so scary. But yeah, you guys did a great job. And then when you guys sent the video over, I can't remember what you said, but it was like super casual, like, let me know if this is okay, blah, blah, blah. And then I opened the video and I was like, this is so good. This is like a full production. This is awesome. Yeah, it was great. So yeah, you guys will have to check that out and then check out our episode we just did over on Let's Get Haunted, where Nat, do you want to say what the topic was?
Yes, I just did an episode on the God frequency 432 hertz and also Bellgate. Why are all the bells missing? It was an alarming episode. That's all I'll say about it.
Well, thank you everybody so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to let me know. You can like this video, subscribe, drop comments down below. What do you think is causing crop circles? Do you think it's a wallaby? Let me know. And if you want to support the show further, you can always join the Perplexed Society. You can get early ad-free episodes, unlock nearly 100 pieces of bonus content. That is patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. As always, I'm Kadra. This is Nat and Allie. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. This show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Assistant editor is Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. All music used in this episode is from Pixabay. If you like the show, be sure to share it with others and leave a 5-star rating and review. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. To unlock early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Listener stories, topic requests, and business inquiries can be submitted to perplexitymysterypodcast.com or emailed to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Until next week, stay curious.